up on a hill,
on a hill,
on a hill,
a circle of friends,
a circle of friends,
sharing a cup,
sharing a cup
of Guatemala beans.
Nadia. Satoshi, bring your value, let's go create. It feels right, it feels good, like we knew the new world could. Join us at the Lake Satoshi.
Greetings, friends. Welcome to Sound Copy, my metaphysical and sometimes physical coffee shop where friends gather for the connections we need to build the world we're dreaming of. In this edition, Fundamentals and I sit down with friends we spent time with at Lake Satoshi for reflections on our experiences there. We made some real magic. Something special is brewing. Maybe you joined us at the Sound Copy pop-up last weekend. Awesome. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Join us in our coffee club signal chat to keep the conversation flowing. The coffee club is also where I post information about my monthly coffee roasts. The link is in the show notes. One more thing. The Pies episode, so much love from you all. Thank you. We're going to read the boosts at the end.
Join us at the Lake Satoshi.
Always a question of how does the plane take off, but here we are, Sound Coffee, seventh edition,
yeah.
hot off Lake Satoshi, and we're going to do something a little different here. We've got a number of us that were hanging out at Lake Satoshi, kind of got a round table here with some reflections. We'll see where this goes, but I'm looking forward to it. So maybe we just go around the table and do some brief introductions. Some of us you already know, but some of us are new here. So
just gonna pop in and say this feels like episode one in a certain way. It feels like a brand new, like everything is first episode here.
We're turning a new
clean slate. It feels like a clean slate. Like I don't know, like something wiped our memory at Lake Satoshi. And created some kind of new vision.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Who's that?
I am Jubilee. Hey. Partner.
What's your deal?
Of Mr. Otis Bittmeyer, and happy attendant to the Lake Satoshi event for the second time. And
by partner, by partner, you mean life partner, right?
I do. Life yes, partner, okay. Business partner. We've been all the partners.
Yeah.
And yeah, happy to be here with good company. Is that enough?
That's great. Yeah.
You are absolutely enough.
Oh, thanks.
You all are.
All right. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next. Bitcoin account here. I host with Rev the South Bend Bitcoin meetup. And I, let's see, what am I currently obsessed with? Currently obsessed with solar hashing and trying to get as many hours a day as I can out of that. And And yeah, it was my first time at Lake Satoshi, and it was idyllic. I was very, very concerned, mostly about my family, and because, you know, I've been talking about you guys for like two plus years. They've only really met Rev, but that was just kind of stopping by the house and, you know, picking up something or us going somewhere else, you know, him dropping off his car and us going somewhere else. So that wasn't really in depth. And they all had a wonderful time. My wife had a wonderful time. My kids had a wonderful time. And I was, you know, when we first drove up the hill, my oldest jumped out of the truck and said, "This is my environment." And then just started running back and forth across the lawn. And I was like, okay, good. We've got him sold. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, so yeah, so that was my reflection on, Lake Satoshi.
Cool.
Hey, what's up, guys? Carl, I go by Rev Hodel over there on Noster. That's where you can find all my notes. And this has been I finally made it. I found my way to the coffee shop. And I'm super stoked to be here. And I'm really excited to just share and talk about all the greatness that this event, Lake Satoshi, has brought. This was my third time attending the event. And I have to say that every year it just keeps getting better and better. And this was by far the most amazing experience I've had yet. But I'm happy to be here.
Cool, man. It's great having you guys. I'll say a couple of things just to intro about Lake Satoshi. I brought my family there as well. We drove, you know, whatever, 500 miles, something like that. My family typically doesn't meet any of, like, you know, I have like 5 or 6 meetups that I go to every couple of months. My family doesn't really meet, you know, they know Business Cat and, you know, people that are like close to me like that, but they don't know generally who we're really hanging out with. So, it was really cool. So it was to break that barrier. Like that was just like a massive barrier that got broken. Mm-hmm. And it went really well. And, you know, the thing, like, I just want to like paint this picture where there is this lake and then there's this big hill. And at the top of the hill is almost like a flag planted. But this is Otis's school bus. And that is like the symbol. That's like when you were walking up, you would look and you'd see people there and you'd say, okay, yeah, okay, Otis, the Sound Coffee situation is happening. And then you go up there and there's two guys working. It's Otis making coffee and Carl grilling food.
Yeah.
Those guys are on their feet. Everybody else is in chairs, yapping, talking. And that's my memory. Like that is like, I'd say like, that is like the best encapsulation of my experience up there.
It was pretty cool. It was really fun to see people gather at the pop-up and at really all hours of the day and evening even. It was really what I was envisioning it would be, as a place to gather, and the conversations that took place, I'm still processing the ones that I was a part of, and I know there were many, many that occurred outside of my sphere of consciousness, but it feels like it. I think I messaged you yesterday, Fundamentals, that it feels like we injected a tremendous amount of energy into the flywheel, and you know, let's keep doing it, because I'm really encouraged and excited to see where this leads.
So yeah, before we get too far, we should back up and sort of explain what this event is. And so every year, just outside of Lansing, Michigan, a private property owner has about 120 acres. And on this 120 acres, he's managed to dig this sizable lake. And this is where the Mid-Michigan meetup meets, at his property every month. But once a year, he puts on this big event, which they call the Lake Satoshi Retreat, usually the first weekend in August. So it's basically like Michigan in general has a very strong Bitcoin meetup culture. And so this event started off with basically just the folks. It was a good reason for all the folks that go to these meetups throughout Michigan to get together once a year and to hang out and talk about Bitcoin and just, you know, build relationships together. But what it's grown into is something so much larger than that, where now it's got this gravity. It's attracting people not only from all over the Midwest, from further away in the country, and even across the world. And so this year, that was like this has been a culminating point of the momentum that's been building year after year that this event has been attracting. And ultimately, it's just a camp out, right? It's just a place where you go, you bring your tent, bring your RV. They got all the firewood you need. This year they had power and water, and they provide a lot of the food without necessarily guaranteeing that. But there ends up being plenty of food around, and everyone communally shares the food as well. And I'm sure we'll talk about that. But I just wanted to make sure that people understood that this is a yearly event. I think, I don't know, it's hard to even say how many people were in attendance this year. Previous years, it's been only a few hundred people, like 100 or 200, right? I think that this year was much larger than that. But it, just to give you an idea of some context there on what this event is.
It's good context. I'd first heard about it, I think, 2 years ago, listening to like podcasts like Pod 256. I feel like that's when I first, and then so 2 years ago, I got this idea, like, I don't know what this is, but it sounds cool. I kind of want to go. And then a year ago, I had really planned to go and didn't realize that my family had other plans for that weekend, which is when I turned 50, and it got blown up. And then I'm like, this year, there are no excuses. And I'm sure there's people listening that are sort of in that camp, right? But I'm like, this year, there's no excuses. We're doing it. And one of the things I was really left with was what I missed last year. Like, you know, I really felt this big void now, because everything I heard guys like John and Shadrach, especially people who interact with you, Otis, last year. And I really get what was missed. And, that hit me pretty strong. The other thing I want to just throw in there is we didn't, like, this thing with the Sound Coffee pop-up, like, we didn't just show up and do it. Like, you have been talking about this for probably a year. And
an entire year.
And we've been having, like, I've just been listening to you for hours envisioning this over the course of the year. And so showing up after all of that work and all of that envisioning and seeing it come to fruition was really, I think that was part of how gratifying it was to be there, just watching it come to life and seeing it. I couldn't picture the property. I couldn't picture, you know, when you were saying, oh, maybe I can, you know, figure out how to serve coffee to 20 people at a time. You know, I couldn't really envision it. Right. But like, it was so gratifying to see it come to life, to see you do it.
And really it was pretty simple, right? So like, we just had some lawn chairs and some logs around a fire.
It's pretty simple. You'd gas tanks, serve
coffee.
Like, you had quite the setup, dude. You had quite the setup. You want to talk about what you did, like, to actually be able to serve coffee to so many people up there on that hill?
Yeah. So I guess the way I was approaching it was as a prototype for like, or a test run of like, is this even a thing that can be done successfully, and what does it take? And so I tried to, you know, as Carl keeps preaching, slow and small solutions, tried to look around what do we have, and how can I use that to create the kind of experience that we want. And so, you know, like, we used our old Coleman camp stove to heat the water. I hand brewed all of the coffee, so I didn't need a lot of power up there. And it was slow, but the feedback that I got was that the hand brewing the coffee was part of the experience, and nobody's in a hurry. We're all just there hanging out. So people are chatting as they're waiting for me to brew the coffee. And sometimes I got to be part of that conversational circle, which was really fun. Like, as I'm brewing, sometimes people break off and they have their own little conversations going, and then I just bring them their coffee when it's ready. But I think in general, it proved to me that there's something here, and I'm not sure where it goes in the future, but creating spaces and inviting people to come gather in them seems like a theme that keeps coming up in our lives.
Yeah.
And it was just really fun to dip our toe back in the water of hospitality in this way, that felt generative instead mm-hmm. of extractive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, we were tired, you know, I'm still recovering, not to be sure, but like the general, like coming home, I'm feeling refilled, even though I did work a good portion of the weekend. I also took time to have fun, but, it was definitely a working trip.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
It is your labor. I have to remind myself, like, this is your labor of love. It was, because sometimes it's like,
yeah.
You know, like my grandma, when she has everyone over and she never sits down and everyone's like, oh, sit down and enjoy, you know, enjoy
yeah.
your family. But this is your thing.
Yeah.
So it's yeah. kind of cool.
And to give people an idea of, you know, so we were camping, right? And to give people an idea of, you roll into a normal campground and you look around and you make sure you're not next to some people who, you know, might give you trouble or might be loud or right or whatever, right? And so you have these shields up when you go into a normal campground. And so I back the truck in and Rev's next to me, and instead of like having the shields up of who's around me, you're just meeting everybody and saying like, hi, like you're my new friend or hey, who are you? Let's get to know each other. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then far to, so, you know, Rev's to my right, but then far to my right, we have this gravity well or this magnet happening of the Sound Coffee pop up. Right. And it's just pulling people in to come talk to each other and have like permission to do so and say, mm-hmm. hey, you know, what do you do besides Bitcoin? Yeah. What are you interested in besides Bitcoin? Yeah. And there was a lot of those types of conversations happening, all because Otis and Jubilee set it up. And then for me personally, then I could dip into that when I wanted to, you know, go down to the lake when I wanted to. But we were all kind of orbiting that in a way.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you have anything you want to share about your experience this weekend?
Yeah, it was emotional for me. Let's see if I can keep it together. I had my doubts for sure. Otis had been talking about this for a year. And all the while I was kind of like, okay, yeah, okay, sure. You know, do what you want to do. Sure, I'd love to assist and help with the parts that I enjoy and can contribute. And I was kind of surprised, though, that he did pull it together.
thanks.
Yeah, sorry, is that bad?
No.
Because,
there's always that question.
Because it was, I mean, like fundamental set, like it was just this idea, and there's a certain power that Otis has in bringing ideas into real life. And that's been a fun part of our ride for me, getting to be a part of so many of those, seeing him turn something into real life. So yeah, it was emotional for me because we had left behind our life of having cafes and doing hospitality in a way that was really fulfilling for me. And just getting to experience the magic of serving people something really delicious, something that we feel really proud of, that's from our hearts and really feels like part of us to be able to serve, coming back to it in the way that, okay, I have to go back. So when we closed our businesses, it was this idea of someday we'd love to try this again in a way that is deeper with fewer people that we feel happier about giving our life force energy to, and it not being spread out so thin amongst so many different people. Just kind of that realization that we want more, deeper, fewer people, because that's how you can't go deeper. You just can't go that deep with so many people. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. So it was that. It was that for me this past weekend, was getting to tap into that magic of serving something that we love and it being with people that actually really felt like, these are the people that I want to be doing that with. I saw myself and us as such outliers and such exceptions to the rule of Bitcoiners. And from the beginning, just jumping into conversation with individuals, it just felt like, oh, wow, no, you and me can really connect. And just like one person after another recognizing, okay, I'm maybe not as far out there as I thought, or, you know, these are the kind of people that I want to be sharing these kinds of experiences mm-hmm. with. Yeah, participating, like, because it didn't feel like just us on one side of the counter. It felt so together, communal. It felt so like we're all contributing, you know, our record player goes out and somebody else brings over her record player. Yeah, that was so cool. And doing the whole value for value experience, I guess I kind of want to bring that up too, because that was something that we had thought about. The pricing for that situation was something that we kind of debated over how we wanted to do that.
I went through and looked at the numbers yesterday, and I'm still, I'll share them with you later, but it wasn't nothing that people donated yeah. value for value, but mm-hmm. something that I noticed was it was people in our tribe who I didn't need them to donate anything because their presence was right. the value for me.
Yeah.
That really stepped up and made it, you know, I don't know. It feels really good to have looked at the numbers and be like, I think value for value worked for the cups of coffee.
Yeah. No, that was cool. A lot of people brought a lot of value.
Yeah. It wasn't just Sats, you know.
Yeah.
Carl, you cooking up your lamb.
Seriously.
And your rabbit. That was
awesome.
That was wonderful.
Fundamentals, your family just brought so much value to our family. Holy cow. Mm-hmm. Your wife was just like grandmothering my little one. Just, wow.
Oh, they were very close friends in a past life.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt about seriously. It. Seriously.
No doubt
glad
about
they
it.
Could and, catch oh, up.
Like the story, like, you know, on the long drive home, there were so many stories about your yeah. kids. Just story after yeah. story. And they're hilarious.
Yeah.
My wife, and my wife loved meeting you, Jubilee.
Aww.
And you know, and she's like, we just started talking about parenting.
Yeah.
We didn't start talking about Bitcoin or anything. We started yeah. talking about our kids, and her overwhelming takeaway was like, oh, like these people want to be good parents.
Yeah.
Because that is sometimes rare.
Yeah.
You know? And so that immediately, you know, probably more than anything else, that orange pilled her more than me talking about random things for the past, you know, however long, many years.
Sure. Well, and I have no intention of orange pilling anyone. If anything, yeah, that part of it, the Bitcoin part of it, I'm happy to just, I don't even know how to talk about it, I guess, but that is not anything that I would have anything to say about. but just happy to be with these people, yeah, who have this common. I
people
just
say,
like the.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, people say live the life. And like when we see people like you guys and Carl, you
yeah.
guys are insane. It's just like who really live the life. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, so, you know, that's worth 1,000, you know, meetings with people who just talk about Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what a theme that emerged for me was, I think our little tribe that we had going on up there, conversations that I were a part of, if Bitcoin was involved in the conversation, it was as a tool to do the things that we really want to do to live our lives well. And that's how I view it. It's simply a tool. And as long as it continues to be a useful tool, then I will use it. But there's something bigger going on here than, you know, just Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to jump in and sort of, much like Otis, I realize that Lake Satoshi is an incredible opportunity as somebody who is trying to live on Bitcoin and trying to earn Bitcoin. And so every year I try and come up with some sort of special product or something that I can bring to that event and earn some Bitcoin and share that value. And so this year I was trying to prepare all this food and everything. And I was thinking I was going to put that rabbit up for value and all this stuff and maybe earn some Bitcoin that way. And I showed up. So first of all, it was just a very stressful time getting ready for the event. I'm here at the homestead. I'm squeezed with my Airbnbs and getting my animals ready to go and just things with my family. And so I've kind of fell short on my intentions. And I quickly realized when I showed up that, man, I can't try and even get any sats for this food that I'm bringing. Like, I just got to just put it out there and let whoever wants some get it and not even put up a QR code or talk about value for value at all. Because I stepped out of the car and it's like, I realized like, oh my God, I'm meeting people that I've been talking to on the internet for the first time. Like for years I've been talking to some of these folks and it's like, dude, this is not about earning Bitcoin, this event. What I was doing is I was focusing on building these other forms of capital, right? The social capital, the cultural capital, the spiritual capital, these intangible forms that, you're not going to get an opportunity. I was talking to myself and I was like, I'm not going to get this opportunity again. This might be the only chance to really get all these people to converge in one place like this. And so I just took full advantage of that and just gave everything away.
It may have been the only chance. Like, you know, it'll be different next year, right?
And yeah.
This sure. was the only chance to do what we did. It's like every moment is the only chance to do what we did, right? And it really, I felt the same way. Like, and so Carl, you're just echoing sort of like how present we all were, right? I mean, we talked to mm-hmm. each other almost every day. Like a lot of us talked to each other almost every day. But when we sat down by the bus, we weren't talking about Bitcoin or any of that, yeah, right? We were just now really getting to another level because the foundation is already there, you know, because of how much, I mean, especially you, Otis, we have side conversations, you know, we get on calls with each other and just, you know, even outside the Signal groups and the Telegram groups, you know, we're building relatedness. And so there was something really special was able to come together when we actually met in person, which is just a mm-hmm. wild, wild experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was really a game changer for me, getting to see like, oh, Otis is talking to this. This is fundamentals. Like, I'm so happy to know that my husband is spending this time with this wise, cool guy. Like, okay, when I see him looking down at his phone multiple times a day, every day, I get so annoyed. It's such a, I feel like something that's really brought a lot of separation between us because of my issues with, you know, whatever, daddy issues. He watched he watched TV and dissociated from us and from real life. And so any kind of like, you know, escaping to some kind of screen is so like, ugh, I just hate that. And now I have real appreciation for that. Like, good. Yeah. Go talk to these people. These are great people to be spending time with multiple times a day. I'm good with that. Mm. Yeah.
It's definitely a bad look, like having a look, you know, looking at your phone. It's always, you know, I've talked about this a lot of podcasts. Like, there used to be this real social pressure not to look at your phone. And I feel like that everyone's given up at this point. But like, if you do have people that you're really building with, I mean, most people are looking at their phones, not building. You know, they're not building with people, not building these relationships.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like we always just be mindful that it's still, you know, we don't want to be sucked into screens and stuff like that. Like we have that value.
Yeah. Right?
But we do it anyway for,
yeah.
You know, we take for the people we're taking risks on.
I love that. I hope that it can be a bit of a transitory phase where over time, we can start to actually physically move back closer together, so that instead of, and it won't be 100% for sure, but I'd rather be gathering around the campfire every morning to check in with my buds, or, you know, whatever that is. You know, we talked in the first episode about the restaurant that the old timers would gather at in my community growing up. I want that kind of experience, that face-to-face connection, because there still is something energetically about staring at a phone that feels like, I feel like I'm being harvested, where it still feels like an extractive experience, even when I'm talking to people that, like you guys. But at Lake Satoshi, face to face, that is a generative, energetic experience for me. Like I said, where I come home exhausted physically in some ways, but emotionally, and I'm not even sure all the other ways that I feel like my cup is full. I think I said at one point that I feel like I overdid on connection. Like I can't really describe it, but it feels much different than when I'm connecting through a screen. I don't know if you guys have
similar experience. I feel like that was a good way of putting it. Yeah. It was so much of a good thing. It was almost like I needed to take some breaks, you know, like, whoa.
Did you even really see people on their phones? I mean, they were, I was a little bit, but like nothing, like I was barely online at all.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, for us, it was vacation time. And so, you know, most of our external lives were expecting us not to be available. Right.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stop most people from still being on their phone all day. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really thought, I talk about this a lot in my fish experience, cause that's like something that really stands out as, a place to go where you just don't see people on phones. And, you know, so, and that only happens when there's something going on that's better and more interesting and way more awesome.
Yes.
Well, it was like the whole reason why I look at my phone all the time is basically to send messages to everyone that was there. So like, I didn't need to right there in front of me. I didn't need to actually type anything out on my phone. I could just yell it out and they would hear me. And I think I can, you know, echo that the OD on connection, OD on friendship, it was like this disturbance in my routine. And I started counting, like, you look at the event and it's this 2 days, maybe 3 day, two or three nights, right, that you've got. But I started to count the event in terms of hours. And I was like, okay, I've got this many hours with these people. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to try and stay up as long as possible. And I'm sorry for waking you up when I couldn't find Soul Exporter's tent, but Bitcoin account. But so it was like this disturbance in my routine that like I came back and everything's different. I like look at the homestead different. I look at everything different. It like opened up, you know, in permaculture, when there's disturbance, there's in an ecosystem, there's room for these pioneer species to start coming through again. And now I have all of a sudden all this space that new things are starting to grow. And I was not expecting that kind of an effect from attending the event. It's been nothing like in the past.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
people are showing up to the coffee shop right now.
Oh.
our children are, we tried to prep them, guys. This is what's happening. Really the only rule is don't fight.
No violence.
And
we'll see. They're on the cusp.
They're teetering.
You need my wife and my daughters to really.
Seriously. Always. Oh man.
And lightning.
Yeah, holy cow. Lightning. Big fan.
Well, I see we're coming up on
listening.
What's that?
Bar Minor just stopped listening.
Oh.
Was he not a fan?
Too boring.
He hates the lightning, the medium of exchange.
Oh.
Well, I see we're coming up on 11 o'clock.
Is that a cutoff for some of y'all as well?
Just you. unfortunately. No,
okay, cool. Well, and who knows? Maybe they'll be late, so.
Who knows? Yeah, I guess we could keep going.
There's something else for us here, for sure.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Jubilee, you see why we do this. Like, this is, we don't even want to up and finish. This is like, when we get talking, we get moving. We just like spending time together.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
So what else? What else we got here?
What else?
I got something else. Quickly, while you're still here. We noticed some potential problems in the safety space, and thinking that, just want to be aware of these things moving forward. If this thing continues to grow, it's pretty informal, and want to make sure that people are, you know, that everyone's staying safe, that it remains a good experience. And I think we can work together. Like, you know, this is the kind of thing where we're making the kind of event that we want, and we're not depending on other people to do it for us. I think that's beautiful, but that means communication and coordination if we want things to happen. So, Jubilee, I wonder, would you be willing to share some of the stuff that you saw that gave you some concern?
Yeah. For me, it was a bit of a, like, my low point kind of became a high point pretty quick with how it all turned out. But basically, I had been spending a chunk of time down by the water keeping a close eye on my kiddos. And there were plenty of other kiddos as well, and not other adults that I saw keeping an eye on kids. And so I was pretty nervous and could have used some extra eyes, some extra hands, so I could go get some more sunscreen, get some more water, do some of the things that I needed to do so I could keep on being present for my kids. But yeah, so I was kind of going a little crazy, too much time in the sun for me. And finally, someone else did come around and could keep an eye on the kids. And I told Lotus, hey, I could really use some help. And I'm seeing some neglect happening here. And everybody's praising the God of Bitcoin, but this whole, and, you know, talking about how amazing this whole experience, how amazing this experience is. And one kid drowns, and that changes the trajectory of this whole thing and the experience of this whole thing pretty drastically, pretty immediately. So crazy enough, found out after the fact that there actually was a moment that there was somebody kind of freaking out, searching the waters for their child. So it wasn't such a...
Ended up being okay.
You know, the kid was in the pavilion getting some more food. But anyway, just kind of confirmed for me that, like, yeah, this was not just me being overly fearful. But anyway, how it turned around for me is, as soon as I told Otis, then I saw him starting to go around and spreading the word to be like, hey, we need to be, like, Jubilee is noticing there's some kids being unsupervised. Let's tighten up. I don't know what he was saying. I heard a little bit talking to a couple people, but it was just all of a sudden it went from me feeling really kind of alone and too responsible to all of a sudden seeing like, oh yeah. Now all of these other people are taking on some responsibility for this. And this is no longer an issue that is just mine. And so that felt really beautiful, healing, redeeming, whatever. I was just really thankful for it to just like change so fast.
I think that there's a big difference between this year and last year. The amount of children that were present
was
like 10x or something, right?
Oh yeah.
Because
last year it was small enough to where I think you even, Jubilee, were at some point just managing the whole group of kids for the whole event the previous year. And this year that's impossible. So it definitely takes, there needs to be a little bit more structure in place to help make a safe place for those children around the water. I agree.
Yeah. And then, and it did later on turn into, you know, a couple other people kind of helping and working together with me. And it was really beautiful. It felt like we kind of figured out what we needed to do and other adults became available. But yeah, I would love to figure out something that's a bit more sustainable, a bit more like kind of taking shifts, kind of working together.
Yeah, I think like I would assume that a lot of adults would love to have some freedom away from their kids at some point. And I think, yes, let's work together so that that can happen. And let's work together so that it's not just one or two people that feel like they're constantly on down there, unless, you know, somebody wants to volunteer to be childcare for the weekend and then we can all pitch together to pay them or lifeguard duty. I don't know. This could go a number of different ways, but I think the load can be spread so that we can all get more of what we want without it falling on any one person in an extractive way.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like, what's sort of revealing itself about this event is that if you've been in the past, you understand kind of that it's up to the people, the attendants to make the event. Mm-hmm. Maybe we've heard of this term, the unconference. It's different than that, but it's got a similar vibe where, people that were new this year it was almost not structured enough to where they were confused and they right. needed some more guidance. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's going to be up to us next year to broadcast how this event works without putting that pressure on the organizers to, cause they've got it was amazing what just the small group of people that they had put together and how smooth, like the worst thing that happened was some person basically lost track of their kid for 20 minutes or whatever.
Right.
And it was like, I think someone in the chats were saying like, oh yeah, all of the drunken yelling and bar fight, you know, like there was no tinge of disagreement like whatsoever. Everyone was just like totally cooperating and having a great time. I didn't find anybody in any sort of disagreeable state.
Yeah.
And so I was waiting to hear if this was going to come up, but like, so I did hear of a guy in his 30s, like, you know, hanging out maybe inappropriately with some of the teenage girls.
Yeah.
So I did hear of that. It led to nothing. And the individual was interrogated by one of our good friends who I think whose child was affected. So like,
yes.
Nothing.
So but, like, this is what I want to point about out too.
Sorry. But when you were talking about the neglect and in general, it's like, dude, there's also, you know, drowning is a big problem. Like, I can't even relate to somebody, honestly, who leave their kids by water unattended. But there are other issues that you want to make sure, you know, you're protecting your kids from.
Totally. That was one of the other things when I told about the neglect. I had seen a guy kind of gawking at these young girls in their bikinis. And I made sure that he saw that I was watching him. And I didn't, that was one of the other things that I told him about and that he spread the word about.
Well, I think it's important for anyone who's coming to Lake Satoshi to know we are developing an immune system and there is a culture that is being built of respect and honoring each other. And if anyone who comes and tries to operate differently, we're watching, we're noticing, and we are prepared to initiate the immune response. Up till now, very little of that has been needed, but I think it's important that we continue to grow that.
Yeah, you get that many people together and there's bound to be some troublemakers.
At some point.
Yeah.
So just step up and watch your kids or let's make sure as a community we have it covered. Like my daughters can do lifeguarding. Like they swim. Yeah. So I left them, you know, in the water pretty much, never really paid attention to them. But, you know, they're not going to regulate other behavior.
Yeah.
They're not going to even be that mindful of it.
Right.
And I'll say too, like some of the positivity and the interactions you have with other folks. I sort of saw this in a few people where they felt so positive that it kind of obscured like, okay, but this is my role as a parent. right?
Right.
It was this kind of, it was kind of this love bomb of like, oh, well, I trust all these people now. Uh-huh. And it's like, not quite that far, buddy. Like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and, and that goes for the immune response too. Like we don't have to trust and we do have to verify. And we can all be, have a great time and be civil, but don't get overwhelmed by the positive feelings and thinking just like, oh, well, this is my, you know, this is my grandma. Fundamentals is my grandma or grandpa now. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you don't actually, you know, like,
right.
You can't just throw that on somebody else. You can't throw it on somebody else that like, oh, well, there's a couple of parents down there by the lake. They'll, you know, I'm going to go wander around the pavilion and talk to interesting people.
Right. No, thank you.
Right.
Yeah. You're still in life. As much of an oasis as it is, you're still in life.
Yep. I had somebody the last night around the campfire. I was sharing an experience of when Otis and I were pretty deep into like spiritual. I don't know. We were missionaries. So that was a different life of ours. And somebody was like, oh, and then you figured out that religion's a scam, right? And then you found out money was a scam, right? And thankfully, one of my children needed me at that moment. And so I stepped away to help her. And I was kind of thinking about that. And then as I was ready to come back, I was like, okay, hold on. Who said that? Religion's a scam? There are scammers in every group of people. And so absolutely, there are scammers in religion, and I don't need to defend religion for myself or anybody else, but just to throw a whole group of people or a whole system under the bus doesn't serve us, I think. And to think that there's some group that's immune, that it's just so pure and holy and good as Bitcoin, that it's immune to have kids drowning and girls getting taken advantage of and that kind of thing. Like it's when you think that a system is so safe that you can really just, trust everyone, that's when shit happens.
And this is a good example of like, I think we're kind of in a golden age of Bitcoin meetups right now, where there's not as much of this concern at the meetups either. But I see Lake Satoshi this year as sort of a little bit of an example of that, of like, okay, if we're not vigilant and we're not paying attention, even at the meetups, we can hold the door open for some people that can be extractive to our culture and our community.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
It's just a good reminder that, yes, while it's really cool to show up and see all these people and have these great conversations and say, oh, these are my people, it's also worth, you know, holding that immune response ready if you do get some signs of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because we're still all people and we still all have our weaknesses and our issues. And
even like I was among Bitcoiners. So I talked to a lot of people. Right. I mean, I was selling my book and I was talking to a lot of people, more people than I usually would talk to. So this is the way to look at. I think if you have a cohort, 100 Bitcoiners, right, and let's say, you know, a lot of them, I mean, probably 10 or 15 of them are going to be the best people you've ever met. And you're going to like want to spend a lot of time with them and you're going to want to figure out how to build a future with them. And then the majority of the rest of them are, in my opinion, just very black-pilled, generally nihilistic, and not like super high thinking in general. And they're cool to hang out with too. And also like we probably don't have these events without them. So I think, I make friends with them and I want to, kind of find a way to bring them into the tent and maybe offer some higher thinking on some things. But like, that's just generally how I see it. And then there's probably 5% of people that show up that are absolute lizards.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Hey, I'm going to pop out now, guys. It has been so great talking with you. Thank you for welcoming me in to this space.
Come again.
Thank
more,
you.
More, please.
Mrs. Sound Coffee. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Scooch out.
Yeah, I'll agree with that black pill. They're religion. Their religion or their faith is nihilism.
Mm-hmm.
And they may center around the Fed. They may center around, you know, a political figure. You know, they may center around, you know, a cultural organization like religion. You know, that's kind of a big one, right? And certainly in the meetups, like, I try to work with that and not really contradict them, but offer them, like, well, there's ways to look at that other than just sort of being negative, right? And I think that's part of, to me, that's part of the work that's important, you know, outside of Bitcoin, that Bitcoin's tangentially related to, right? Mm-hmm. People are coming to a meetup or coming to a camp out to interact with people, and they probably don't want to stay in that negative headspace. That's why they're coming. Hopefully. Good for them. Yeah, good for them. And if they give me the opportunity, then I'll help. But I think you're right. And my wife actually brought up about the lizard people. You know, she brought up like what if this gets bigger next year? The shop experience up front was very different than the camping experience in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, honey, Bitcoin has an immune system. It has terminology like degens that we all are aware of, and scammer, because she was worried about scammers, you know. And I said, we've all been through that numerous times. So yes, we are thinking about that.
It's one of the good things. This is, I think we were talking about this before. You know, my background in these events is from the band Phish. They invented the modern festival culture, and one of the first things they have ever said was, they wanted it to be as remote as possible. And so they would have their festivals in the far corners, you know, Limestone, Maine, Big Cypress in Florida, like, you know, the farthest corners. And I think having to go a great distance is a big way that does weed out a lot of these issues. So, like, it's not that it's perfect, but it definitely eliminates a good amount of people who are only who would only go to attack the system, we'll just say.
Right.
And it is part of the magic too. Like, the fact that we all had to go a very long way is part of why we appreciate each other when we're there.
Mm-hmm. It boggled my mind to see the number of people that overcame what I consider to be significant obstacles to get there. It wasn't mm-hmm. just a few. I felt like I kept, over the course of the week preceding, like, I just witnessed quite a few people run into some sort of roadblock, and to see all of those folks pushing through, or many of them pushing through and get there, even if, you know, they missed half of the whole weekend, you know, they're still going to show up. And then to hear, like, I was talking to Barn, and he's like, yeah, this is totally worth it.
It's too bad he stopped listening 10 minutes ago, but he would enjoy being appreciated here.
Tell him to push through.
He'll push through.
Yeah. To me, it just speaks to the power of what we're trying to do here. And it would make sense that we'd meet some resistance getting there.
It's remarkable, really, like what Barn went through with Solex and like these guys. Like, it's unbelievable to me that, you know, flights canceled and still continue, you know, like it is remarkable. Like I only see this, I don't see this really anywhere except going to fish festivals, like where people just like plow through the worst things. Like, I was thinking, like, who shows up to something like this when there's no band? Like, in my world, that's totally foreign. Like, there's no band they're coming to see. Like, they're just coming to come.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. Something powerful.
Like, dude, you can't just get off the plane, take an Uber to the conference hall, and then go walk a few blocks away and check into your hotel. And the other thing is, like, when you're at a conference or something like that, you kind of have the ability to like separate yourself from the event at some point, go away, go somewhere else. And people did kind of accomplish this if they stayed at a hotel outside of town or whatever.
Yep, I did this. I was able to do this.
If you're camping there, you're like immersed in the experience for the entire weekend. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that's why I was like, I'm counting this in the number of hours I have to spend with these people. And I'm going to try and stay up as long as possible, maximize that. At one point, I had my pants half off in my tent. And I was like, I walked back up to the top of the hill. Everyone was sleeping. And I was like, I heard some vestiges, some squeaks and squawks off in the distance. And I was like, oh, shoot. I put my pants back on and wandered off in that direction. And poof, their soul exporter just like appeared right in front of me. And he had just gotten there after all of his troubles with his planes and everything. And it was like a magic moment that, you know, if this was a conference or whatever, that experience would have never happened.
Right. That's beautiful.
Yeah, you're like a dog. Just, oh my God, did I just hear somebody else show up? Oh my God. It is good to know though. Like, so I'll say we stayed in a hotel. My family needed showers and stuff. They were not enthused about 3 days of camping, and that wasn't a bad thing either for us. It's actually not terrible to get some separation, and maybe next year we'll do it. We'll stay on site and experience it full immersion.
It is, you know, it was interesting having our bus parked right next to this hub of, or as a part of this hub of activity. The first couple of nights, I think it was really hard for my kids to get to sleep, but I don't know. I feel like by the last couple of nights, they had adjusted their expectations and realized like they'd had so many good experiences with the humans that were right outside their window that it was much less difficult to get them into bed. Also, they were super exhausted, so that played into it as well. But just witnessing that, like the safety of community, like a trusted community, is not just important for us adults, but our kids feel it and see it too.
It was great. It really, really was great. I think I was sitting there on the last day and your middle daughter was saying to me, my dad is not going to give you a bag of coffee. I thought it was the funniest thing. My kids just laughed hysterically, and it was just one of the. It's just hilarious, you know. That's how like comfortable. That's just how comfortable it all got.
Yeah,
very, very. And you know, we were just telling stories like this the whole way home about your daughters. You know, they're like old souls trapped in child's bodies.
You can tell how comfortable they've gotten when they start to get sassy with you.
So. Totally, yeah. And yeah, that's what I mean. It's just so funny. So it's,
yeah.
You know, a lot of the kids I didn't really meet or get to know, to be honest. You know, I don't know. I don't really hang out with kids, you know. You know, I'm there to talk about big ideas. You know, kids are boring in that way, you know.
Oh. But,
yeah, so like it's just again getting to know, just getting to break that barrier a little bit more. It's just great stuff. I wanted to describe the scene around the bus too. Like you had the bus at the back of the bus. You had the grill with a cover, and imagine Carl standing there pretty much a lot of the time by the grill. You had some seats around there because people were eating, and then out by the front door of the bus there was some lawn chairs, and then a little bit further down you had basically laid down like 8 or 9 little tree stumps to sit on, mm-hmm. which I was calling Stumphenge. That's probably a good way to visualize it. So you know, it wasn't an accident that all the activity was around the bus. You had the food, you had the coffee, and you had all the seating that was set up, and it's just natural. Yeah. And then with a perfect view of down the hill of the lake, and like a lot of us could see our kids in the lake from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we get there in time if anything happened, but just you could see it. It was beautiful.
Yeah. And then the vinyl. That kind of. I think there's potential for more of that, but anyway, it was a good prototype.
A quick story about the food. And relate, like, the reason why I had not planned to just come there and grill the entire time. But last year, Chet, a lot of people may have heard of this guy, Chet. He's very generous. And he purchased a lamb for me at the event last year, put his deposit down, and I was to deliver this lamb to him, in the fall. Well, we could never really, he was in Kentucky, and, we could never really arrange a way to exchange this lamb. So I had it in my freezer all the way up until the following year for this event. And he said, just bring it and cook it all and give it all away. Just cook the lamb, you know? And so, that's what I did. I showed up and I made some, I made like a chimichurri sauce and marinated some lamb chops and did a couple roasts. And I don't know, I probably grilled 15 pounds of lamb. And so that was the reason why that food was there was thanks to him. I just wanted to shout him out for that because it was very generous. Mm-hmm. And,
awesome.
Shout but out, that changed, shout. That also changed the lens in which I was like interacting with the event. Cause if it wasn't for me, if I wasn't stuck up there grilling, and not like that, I didn't want to be stuck up there grilling, but because I had this, this mission to grill all this lamb and give it all away. I was immersed in that pop-up, coffee shop the entire time too.
Yeah. And just to put a tag on that, Chet's actual online name is Chet We All Eat. So.
How appropriate.
Yep.
We all ate well from that lamb.
Absolutely. I mean, as far as food went, that was the highlight for me. Not the absolute highlight was the rabbit and everything you were cooking
for. Yeah.
I did want to touch on a couple more things about the Lake Satoshi event that I think are worth discussing. So the type of people, the type of Bitcoiners, if you will, that this event attracts are typically the people that are interested in participating in the Bitcoin circular economy. Now, I'm sure anyone that attends their local Bitcoin meetup regularly or attends Bitcoin meetups regularly realizes that it's pretty hard to go to these meetups and find the stuff that you want to buy to spend your Bitcoin on. And it's hard to encourage people to show up with their things to sell. Now, this event was like a convergence of all of the few of us who are really working at producing these products and offering it up to the Bitcoiners and utilizing Bitcoin meetups as the marketing, the mechanism and how we distribute them. And so I took I took advantage of this opportunity, and I like kind of wholesale bought like Evian Park, brought a bunch of candles. I picked up a bunch of candles. I picked up a bunch of Barn Miners jerky. And now I can sort of now I have more products to offer at these meetups, and I can distribute them. And so this is actually an opportunity for you if you are somebody. I'm thinking, you know, Leathermint, Soap Miner, some of these Noster guys that are Oshi that does the pecan butter. This is an event for you to help get more of your product out there in an analog way via the Bitcoiners who are running to these meetups every week, every month, and trying to participate in the circular economy. It's a bolstering because I need more stuff. I want to have something for everyone.
And just another side note, Carl, I screwed up. I should have left you with a handful of books.
Well, we can work that out. But I think you sensed that too, right? Like you understood. Yeah. Oh, wait.
I thought I would see you on the last day. And that, so I was bummed not to see you on the last day, but also I thought that I would cover that with you there. Let's talk about just some of the other stuff we had, right? So Chris, the lemonade was like incredible. So Chris was up there with the lemonade, hand squeeze lemonade, and yeah, he sells the Evian Park candles, which if anyone's got a Mestredel box, they know what that is, right? Carl, I'll just say I bought a jar of maple syrup and I did not secure it and I left it up there and I'm really, really depressed about it.
Augie brought a bunch of stuff. That was cool.
Augie, yep.
It's cheap.
Great seeing Augie. Oh, man. Shout out Augie. Like meeting Augie in person was like, I thought he didn't like me, but then I realized he's just like that online. Right. Just aggressive online. And so it was great to, Augie, shout out, buddy. It's so great, man.
Bitcoin account. You had your freeze-dried Skittles.
Yes.
The first of many products.
Yeah, we brought candy for the kids. And then also had a lot of really good conversations about with other producers. So, you know, what are you doing with your excess at end of harvest? Right? Yeah. Well, you can think of me as your friend with the pickup truck when you need to move something. And said, I'm your friend with a freeze dryer. Mm-hmm. And so we can capture all that harvest, and you don't have to, you know, give zucchinis to your entire family. We can capture it, preserve it, and then that itself can be a product for you. So we had a lot of conversations like that where now that the community has this ability, they sort of like, oh, I see, that's easier. And the idea of preserving what I make for 25 years and retaining 95% of the nutrition, that just wasn't an option. Like, you know, canning was a thing, you know, but canning's kind of a pain in the butt. And so, yeah, was able to have a lot of good conversations about that.
Cool.
In a lot of ways, you know, we're like recreating things that have existed in the past, but now through this new lens that Bitcoin exists. Like, this event was ultimately a convergence of, in a lot of ways, for trade too, right? Where now I can get access to these products that I'm isolated from elsewhere in the country, aggregate them together, and now distribute them amongst my local Bitcoin community. Because we are a diaspora of it's hard to create a circular economy when we're so thinly spread out everywhere across the country and across the world. And so these kinds of events are huge opportunities for us people that are producing and trying to build this real economy where we can live on Bitcoin. Now we can aggregate our products together and then help everyone gain access to them without having to deal with the shipping or having it be shelf stable, so on and so forth, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Fragile products, things like that.
Yeah. I think that's one of the major things that stuck out to me about the weekend was, you know, talk about the flywheel getting rolling in fresh ways. Like, I think the circular economy is feeling like it's really starting to get some legs. You know, a year ago it was like, I feel like there was a lot less available than there was at this event. And I'm excited to see where it goes in the future. And then the second piece is I'm starting to see more flow. So like, Carl, you're big on the, like, you're hitting the trail at our local meetups, or like the meetups in our area, pretty heavily spreading flow of energy and, or like of products and ideas and stuff. But I'm starting to see it regionally. There's some momentum picking up there too.
And I'll say too, for me, you know, I met folks who were very proud to have never spent their Bitcoin and so wanted to give me cash. And that's fine. You know, but that opened up the door for talking to them, like, why the circular economy is real and why spending your Bitcoin isn't a bad thing. And so for me, that just opened up like new conversations to have with folks and new ways to help them think about that.
Well, first of all, like, Satoshi wrote in the white paper that Bitcoin is peer-to-peer electronic cash, right? And so at the same time, people are waiting almost for the merchants to adopt Bitcoin so that they can now spend their Bitcoin. Thank God, Steak and Shake is finally willing to accept Bitcoin, and now I can try and drive 2 hours to the closest Steak and Shake so I can spend my Bitcoin. But if you're somebody who's starting to earn Bitcoin, you realize the value in spending it. And the only way you can do this effectively is to build peer-to-peer relationships. And so that's what I was getting at, is like, we're recreating a lot of systems that have existed in the past, and they existed this way for different reasons. But now, because of this, we're almost limited in a strange way buy Bitcoin, if we're trying to operate within this isolated Bitcoin economy, we have to adopt these mechanisms, which ultimately force us to be unified, to work together, to build relationships. We need cultural capital, social capital, and all these other spiritual capital, all these other intangible forms of capital to effectively build an economy. Mm-hmm. And the people that are unwilling to spend their Bitcoin just haven't, they probably just haven't tried to earn Bitcoin yet, or they just haven't experienced seeing this in action. And this is why when you go to a Bitcoin meetup like the Southwest Michigan Bitcoin meetup and you see all of the different exchanges that are going on, I think the light bulb clicks. It goes off. And hopefully this happened at Lake Satoshi too, to a degree.
I found it wild sometimes to realize how few Bitcoiners actually have Bitcoin. You know, I was telling a story last night, but like, there's a guy I knew who, like, I'm on a couple of different Zoom calls, and this guy likes to lurk. He likes to lurk on one of them, and we make fun of him for being a Fed, but he actually showed up to Lake Satoshi and met him, and I was selling my book, and he basically said, I like digital copies. I was like, hey, you want to buy one of my copies? He's like, I like digital. I said, oh, cool. It's 2,100 sets. It's not, you know, basically it's nothing. Go to the ZooSpace site. And he's couldn't do it. So like in front of me, he literally went to Amazon on his phone and bought the Kindle version, which I have a significant fiat surcharge on. I sell it for $10. And it would blew me away that somebody would do that. Like, and I really do. It surprises me how Bitcoiners don't walk around with Bitcoin. They go to events without Bitcoin. Like, you got to load up your Lightning wallet when you go to an event, you know, and you'll be upset if you don't.
So my point with this conversation is basically like this exchange of goods and services, or well, the goods, I guess, allows me now to bring Lake Satoshi on the road with me. And if we have more events That's like so this cool. around the country, this creates a better network of distribution. Like we can develop a whole different model for distribution than what we're used to looking at today. And so that's it.
But I just wanted to add to that. Like we're sort of trained, and it's very strange. Like we're sort of trained to trust a transaction with Walmart more than with someone we know. And that's been happening for many decades. And that's very strange because, you know, some store, you know, if they could put sawdust in the food, they would, right? Or if they could put like seed oils in the food, they would, right? If they could get away with it. And of course, what trade with other individuals unlocks is reputation. And it also unlocks a common language. There's a lot of theories that like separate tribes had to interface around trade, and they had to develop a common language around trade, right? And once they did that, they stopped beating each other over the head, you know, and stealing resources because trade was more profitable. And so, what this is starting to unlock in my mind is that, just like you said, oh, I want to show up with a Lightning wallet that's full. I want to engage in this and not be left out, because this is a different experience than I'm used to, where when I trade with, you know, Megastore X, it's adversarial in a lot of ways. I'm looking for the cheapest thing I can find. I'm looking for the most quantity I can get. If I'm well-to-do, then I'm looking for the best quality I can get. And all of those things get solved in a lot of ways just by actually knowing who your producer is. Mm-hmm.
I've got a new heuristic that I'm kind of trying to follow. And this, when a lot of my lens is through the context, like I'm trying to earn my financial capital. I'm trying to earn it as Bitcoin, right? I'm trying to earn Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And so this heuristic is, whenever I spend my Bitcoin, I'm prioritizing spending my Bitcoin with somebody, with the person that I have the highest potential of earning Bitcoin back from them someday. Because this is how the Bitcoin will only circulate if I'm spending Bitcoin with you and then I'm earning it back from you too. And we're exchanging Bitcoin back and forth. That's how you circulate the Bitcoin. And so, yeah, that's just, I've just been looking at my interactions with Bitcoiners in this way, like, okay, your product's cool, but like, what are the, like, Steak and Shake, I will certainly never give them any of my Bitcoin, right? Because I am never going to earn my Bitcoin back from Steak and Shake. I just won't, you know, so deprioritized.
Unless they start serving cannabis infused rabbits.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Something that you pointed out, Carl, in regards to Steak and Shake, and that I've started to think about even in regards to when I spend fiat at any chain store, is the extractive nature of what they're doing. In that we've seen this our whole lives. These chains come in, they come into small towns, and it is taking value out of the, it's harvesting value from the community and sending it off elsewhere. And for some reason, when you pointed that out here a month or two ago, it stuck with me to the point where I'm just constantly thinking about how much value we've allowed to be extracted from our communities simply through patronizing chains. And I start to sound, on one hand, it sounds crazy for me to go that far and say that, but like also at this point in my life, I've been watching that experiment for long enough to kind of now be at the place where I'm like, yeah, let's stop this. Let's stop this flow. And so I'm right there with you where I'm like, let's continue to figure out ways to pass our Bitcoin along to people who value it enough to try to return it to us.
Well, and the difference here, man, when you're working in fiat is that, the chains are subsidized, right? So that it's hard to compete on the cost. And when your money is continuously being devalued, when you operate in a circular economy in your own community, you're still being extracted from. And so the sacrifice that you're making to pay the premium to build your own economy locally, is still being sucked. All that value that you're creating is being sucked away by the devaluation of the currency. But now that we have Bitcoin, every time we circulate the Bitcoin amongst ourselves, we're left with more Bitcoin at the end of those that loop of transactions because the purchasing power is going up. And so now we get to, instead of making the choice of going with the subsidy thing because it's cheaper, we make the choice to operate in our own communities because it actually bolsters the economic purchasing power and economic power that we have. And Bitcoin is the difference here. This is what makes this possible again.
So to put that through another frame, people hang on to Bitcoin and they don't spend it for the big payoff in the future. But Bitcoin grants you higher purchasing power right now. So there is a payoff right now. If you have to think that way, right? Like what's my max payoff? Your purchasing power grants you that.
Right.
And the second or third order effect of being extracted from is that, say, dads do not have time to sit and work on the car in their front yard, and their neighbor has time to come over and hang out with them, and then they can learn things together. Instead, after a long day, they're just tired and they turn on a screen. And since they aren't trading with each other, they aren't doing value for value. And again, that doesn't have to be a product. That can just be one of the forms of capital. Since they aren't trading that, they never start trading that. Mm-hmm. They never hand their neighbor a wrench to help him fix his truck in the driveway. And they both just keep getting extracted upon and just try to have enough energy for the next day rather than giving it to each other. Because, of course, what we found at Lake Satoshi was when we give energy to each other, somehow we all have more energy at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Boom. And
of course, that's if you're a parent, you know that that's how love works.
It's a lot of energy, too. And it's being invested in each other, building each other, holding each other accountable. Like the real uncomfortable things that we'd rather just not do.
Yeah.
Because it's just unpleasant. But, you know, we all do it for each other because we fucking are invested. Like we want to win. Right?
Well, I would like to point out that we're going to be uncomfortable / in pain either way.
Choose your suffering. You get to choose.
What's the suffering going to yield? Is it going to yield more of the kind of things that we want? Or is it going to keep running us down and sucking us dry? And Lake Satoshi was a great example of, if you allow the discomfort of something that's like generative, you know, who knows what can happen. It's beautiful.
Well, and I hear a lot of times, you know, like we kind of joke about it at the meetups a little bit, like, oh, eventually there's no like US dollar meetups or like meetups about the euro or anything, right? And eventually, you know, with Bitcoin, we're going to be laughing that we even spent time meeting up around this protocol. But I disagree with that, because we talk about love, right? And so I just recently listened to this podcast series called The Telepathy Tapes, and there's a little Easter egg in there where these people that have nonverbal autism, they're able to they find out that they're able to communicate, tap into these subtle energies that we're not so aware of. But their Easter egg in that is that one of them predicted that there would be a new currency that arises, a new money based around love. And to somebody who is unaware of Bitcoin, they might hear this and think they couldn't imagine it. But this is Bitcoin, because in Lake Satoshi is the perfect example of this, because Bitcoin is what brought us all together there. So with these people, with the other thing is how these nonverbal autistic folks define love is anything that unifies. If you listen to the podcast, that podcast series, you'll learn that this is how they define love, and their ability to access these subtle energies is based on love energy. Okay, so they say that love is anything that unifies, right? And Bitcoin brought us all to this event. Like Fundamentals is saying, like, why would people show up to a place, do all this work just to like go and hang out? There's no band there. There's no big name speakers or anybody like stars to meet or anything like that. It's just us, you know? And this is because of love. And this is what Bitcoin affords us. It unifies us to the point where now we can, all we have to, the biggest exchange here is the love with each other.
It's fucking awesome. I'll expand on that for a sec. That I've always heard the definition of love as accepting somebody for exactly who they are and who they're not. And I never thought of this in the context of, you know, context of Bitcoin, but in a sense, it tracks, right? It's metaphysical. You can't see it, but it is to be like us, right? We accept Bitcoin for what it is and what it isn't. And that's it. We don't like, you know, we don't cheat on it or try to, you know, we try to make the best of what the best thing is. And when we love somebody, that's what we do as well. We just make the best of it with them. Mm-hmm. Now, Bitcoin ruins relationships. That's another topic for another day. But, you know, I really do, like, I think anybody who's really tapped into love would clearly see what goes on, and it's totally fucked up.
So back to, I just put this in anywhere, but back to trade being taken away from us, and reputation being taken away from us, and trust being taken away from us, right? Because those things build trust between people. In that same way, community has been taken away from us, right? Mm-hmm. We don't entertain each other. We get entertained. We consume. We don't create. The efforts to remove things that say like churches or community organizations always did, right? And having the state do a lot of that pushes out the ability for people to help each other and help themselves, right? And so what we found is that, like, for instance, for the lemonade stand, like I said, do you need help? Do you need help moving things up the hill? And then he immediately goes, yeah, right now. And there wasn't any awkwardness. And so we loaded up the pickup truck, right? It's so much stuff, right? Because they have just such a massive setup. But there was no awkwardness about like actually accepting my help. He knew that I was giving that for free to him, and that he was my actual neighbor. Mm-hmm. And then he just said, thanks.
Yeah.
And then we bought lemonade later and I paid him sats for it. And that was a completely separate transaction. We bought a lot of lemonade and that was a completely separate transaction. And there's no awkwardness there because we knew what we wanted to build between us. And he just accepted that. And so did I.
Right. One more thought, and then I really do need to go. But I view what we did at Lake Satoshi as just kind of the tiniest prototype or proof of concept of everybody talks about their fucking citadels. And I kind of get tired of hearing it because everyone, almost everyone is a LARPer. At this point in Bitcoin, I think there are lots of people outside of Bitcoin around like that have been practicing for years, but all of us Bitcoiners are still kind of in the, like, we're not actually doing it. Most of us, but I view Lake Satoshi as really a proof of concept that we can keep playing with year after year and growing. And who knows, over time, maybe it actually does result in a real life citadel that we're living and working together on. But in the smallest ways, in the really important ways, I think we proved out how it could be done, at least on a small weekend type scale. Thanks, guys.
Beautiful.
Let's talk again. I mean,
sounds
we will.
Good.
Until next time.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Joyful sound. All right. I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to kick this section off. It's the section we don't normally do, which is boost reading. I don't really do much boost reading on any of my podcasts. I feel like it disrupts the flow of the conversation. And, I always feel badly because people do boost and I want to acknowledge it. So I like what we're doing right now. We're taking separate time just to focus on it. Right. Yeah. And, we felt the need to do this because we all of a sudden got a bunch of boosts on an episode. Whereas the Pies episode from every metric possible just blew away all the prior episodes, including boosts. So we're going to take the time and acknowledge all the people that decided to generously boost us for this episode.
Yeah.
Shout out Pies, man. Shout out Pies for just
doing his
drawing
thing.
This doing energy it. Into our vortex.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready?
Yeah. Shall I go first?
Yeah, why don't you go first? Take the big one, the big cheese.
Yeah. John, thanks for your boost. Hey, chingity ching. Hee haw, hee haw. It was really good to see you this weekend and spend time going deeper. Yep. I look forward to more.
I was bragging about how we were the first people to put Pies on a podcast. And John interjects, says, well, technically I did that. And he's right. Yeah. And he even, he left this boost just to remind us that, when you have a sound effect on the Ungovernable Misfits podcast, that's already pretty, you got pretty high status in the world.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go to the next one. Avi Burra. Yo, Avi.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. He boosts, says, just discovered this podcast because of my 40 hours per week guru Pies. Sound coffee maximalist here. Well, dude, Avi, great to have you. I started reading Avi's book called 24.
Oh, yeah.
Which comes with this beautiful purple matte cover. And it's freaking me out because I don't want to spoil it, but like it's about somebody, at least in the beginning, who's experiencing like the death of his dad. And his dad was a financial insurance professional, which is what I was. And so it's kind of freaking me out. But so I'm feeling a connection to Avi right now because I'm reading his book and really, really appreciate the boost.
Is it fiction?
It's fiction. It's like it's probably the only like real fiction in the Bitcoin space. It's, I don't see much Bitcoin references other than that it's time stamped with block heights, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. Have to check it
out. I'm only like 20 pages into this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yo, Bitcoin FTW. Always remember, friends. Don't buy pre-ground coffee. Excellent advice. Wholeheartedly agree with that.
Unless you don't have a grinder and you're on the hill at Lake Satoshi and Otis is right there with his bags of coffee and his amazing grinder.
You can buy pre-brewed coffee. Acceptable. Yeah.
All right. Next boost comes from the legend. His name is Pies.
Boosts his own episode. Said,
when I go on a show, I want it to be seen. So I usually give it a nice boost when I go on a show. So this isn't, not that crazy. Now, Pies happened to boost us twice, which is
three times, actually.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, here's the first one. Just saw the album art. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Really was great work you did on the music, the art, everything about it. I feel like we honored him. I feel like we showed our love in just how, like, the aesthetics of how it all came out.
I hope so.
You got the good one.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Then the next one is also from Pies. Gentlemen, this was a blast recording. The fucking intro song is epic. I think I took a bit too many shrooms that day at work. sorry for the abrupt ending because of my retard boss. Hey, it's all good. We enjoyed it.
That's a pies boost right there. That is, it's got all of the components of a good pies boost.
Yep.
It didn't occur to me like it was on mushrooms, by the way. He just occurred to me like really solid, normal dude and ready to have a conversation.
Right. I appreciated his jumping in to a new thing with us.
Awesome. All right. So next one is my boy Business Cat. Shout out.
Mm-hmm.
He says the intro and outro songs are excellent. And anybody who is familiar with our podcast, that's the thing I praise him the most for. So like that's high praise. I think Business Cat's great at that. And it's very high praise. And he's right. Otis is in episode 6 has really planted his flag as a podcast intro outro song man.
I hope I didn't set the bar too high.
It's possible. I mean, it's a lot of it is pies. Let's face it, right? A lot of it is just love for pies. It makes the amplifies all of the.
Yeah, there was definitely a synergy there.
Yeah, like if we have boring guests on, you can have the greatest intro outro music, but like no one's going to care, right?
I don't think we're going to have boring guests.
Hell no.
To us anyway. It might be to people who listen, but I don't plan on ever having someone on that isn't interesting for me to talk to.
It's really just us, the conversation, the quality we're able to have. I mean, I think we're not always going to have... You know, we're human beings, right? So we're going to sometimes, we're going to maybe have bad gas from too much coffee or something, and we can't have the real present conversation we maybe hope to have. But I don't know. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah. Well, some people thought that
about the pies episode. Some people thought we didn't have the best conversation with him. But, you know, we just keep going. We have people, we're going to have people we believe. That we love and that we believe we have great conversations with, and then we're just going to let it rip.
Yeah. Yep. Next up is Chad F and 33 others. Chad F and 33 others. And this is just maybe a link to a.
I think that's Pies is Noster.
Oh, okay.
That's my guess.
Oh, okay. It says essentially maybe Pies in the house.
Yeah, that's what I'm inferring. And Chad F is the man. Shout out, OG Bud from the Central PA meetup.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and value for value enthusiast for sure.
Cool.
Okay, Will W. It's either Will or we. I can't see with my eyes, but all caps. The legendary pies. Hell yeah! Mm-hmm. Thanks, Will. Appreciate that. I couldn't agree more.
Shadrach is next. Our boy Shadrach. So good. Love you all. V for V. Hashtag 40HPW. Love it. You know, Shadrach would be somebody that would be fun to have.
Hell yeah. He's going to pop into this chair sitting next to me in a matter of minutes.
What?
He's on his way over to my house right now.
Cool.
But a lot of my local guys we need to get on the show.
Yeah. I love
especially it. People who are building circular economies are very active in, it's just our boys.
Well, and he and I have our ongoing conversations about all sorts of things. So I feel like it's time we connected. Sad he wasn't able to make Lake Satoshi this year, but I believe he has repented of that sin and will rectify
his fingerprints.
That in the future.
Yeah, his fingerprints were all over it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
His aroma still lingered from his presence last year.
I'll trust you on that. Not going to verify, but I will take your word for that. All right. Next boost. Our boy, Pleb to Polymath. It was great meeting him. Great meeting him at Lake Satoshi. He says, great show. The music was phenomenal and the chat was entertaining. Agree?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to see him. Solex, speaking of another person, it's great to see.
Hell yeah.
We've got an emoji of a fire and a coffee cup. Great intro, smiley face. There you go.
Whenever I find out Solex is listening to any of my podcasts, it like reinforces my, like, sometimes I do wonder, should I really be doing all this? Mm. And like, all it takes is like Solex telling me he listens is like, of course I should be doing this. This is what's all about.
Yeah. Oh man. So encouraging. He's so encouraging. I don't know how many nice things he said to me over the weekend that I'm like, oh man, that makes me feel happy. All right. Next up.
Chad F. This is not a duplicate. It's just a second boost. It's the same, basically same boost. But I think this was earlier. This was his first boost when he said, Pies is not, Pies is NPub, is the real deal. Then he had to follow up and say, is in the house. So I think these are pre-boosts, what we're starting to get here.
Yeah, I mean, people we've got another one from Shadrach. Holy smokes. Reds, pre-boosting for the intro. #40HPW.
God, really feeling like how excited people were just to see Pies' name and then hit play and just start hearing the music. Like, it hadn't really occurred to me.
Yeah.
But this is now where, oh my God. So I got an impossible one. So I don't know who Nostra Gang is, but Nostra Gang, man. Ugh. I do have my magnifying glass in front of me so I can see in my phone. It looks like shroom, shroom, shroom. Bierstein, 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 muscle, muscle, muscle. I don't know if that's a clam.
I think it's a pie.
I do not know what the rest of these things are.
Equals gold medal, cigarette, cigarette, cigarette. Looks like a construction worker, construction worker, construction worker.
Thank you. Wow. Yeah. We're getting a lot of emoticon boosts now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Nostra Gang. Hope to. If I know you and don't recognize your name, sorry about that. But
yeah, Chill Now also has some muscle, 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 shroom, 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 American flag, American flag, American flag.
Nice. Thanks. Wartime. What's up, Wartime? Long time no talk, man. Hope to hear from you more. Good to see you here. Looks like 6 emoticons of dynamite sticks about to be lit. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Zuyo. Pies. With a salute emoji. Stay positive. Yeah. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right. Got my boy God's Death. Just thank you, gentlemen. That's a classic God's Death booth, and you're welcome, as usual.
Aggie Chute? Is that how you pronounce that?
That's got to stand for something.
Other person. Yeah, sure.
Sounds like some euphemism for some type of butt play or something. It's got to be something like that, something sexual. It's got to be something that we're not seeing.
Sure, yeah.
Well, Aggie Chute? I don't know.
I'm that one other person. I don't quite get that one, but
we'll have to re-listen to find the spot where that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do appreciate. Okay. AIBLE. Awesome conversation. Okay, nice. Fountain wouldn't be what it is without Brother Pies connecting listeners and creators to other great content. Thank you guys for recognizing this absolute pioneer. Thank you for saying that, AIBLE. Thanks for being a booster, and you're part of definitely. You boost a lot of podcasts that I listen to, and really appreciate those comments.
CPOBV has a couple in a row here.
Why don't you just read them both?
And then opening salvo took me from 6 to midnight.
Nice.
I like that.
Nice. All right. Thank you. And then last boost is from our boy, Pies. Of course. My one regret of the conversation was that in the moment I forgot to mention, he writes these NPubs.
I think it's Ungovernable Misfits.
Okay, because I was going to say, I wish we did this John, maybe beforehand. I forgot to mention.
I seem to remember, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he says, okay, with blank and Max. Okay, so that's probably, I'm going to guess, I forgot to mention Ungovernable Misfits with John and Max. It's one of my most inspirational podcasts that I listen to. That's just the ADD retard in me laugh emoji. Pies, I share the same sentiment with you. Ungovernable Misfits and John and Max, I've always said publicly, these are my role models for how I want to be as a podcaster. I just want to pay my respects to those guys at Ungovernable, you know, for sure.
There's more than one way to participate in what we're doing. And I love the way that they honor and acknowledge people who are part of the community. It's fun.
I consider ourselves an extension of, like, we're all just, you know, I mean, we're certainly an extension with the Meshtadel. This is a Meshtadel. This podcast and our partnership is a Meshtadel function.
Yeah.
Completely.
Absolutely.